Today's scripture comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
That's a lot of by faith, isn't it? The writer of Hebrews is writing, oddly enough, to Hebrews. He's writing to the Jewish people. And in this passage, it's somewhat nostalgic. He's reflecting back on all of those Old Testament patriarchs and matriarchs that have did so much in their life. And much of the Old Testament is covered in that very brief scripture, just 16 verses. He covers a lot of people and a lot of time of people living by faith in God. It's interesting, though, if you go back and actually read the stories of all of those people, which is quite lengthy, it's a lot of details, and their lives, in many cases, were awful, an absolute train wreck. Either things that they completely messed up themselves, sometimes betrayal from family members and people around them, but their lives were a mess. I mean, an absolute mess. Noah, for example, yes, he had great faith, and he received the word from God about the flood, and he built the ark. But then there was this bizarre story of how his son utterly betrayed him horribly. And then there's Abraham and Sarah that's mentioned in this passage. Sarah, it says here that in Hebrews that by faith she had the child past childbearing years, which is absolutely true. But she actually laughed when the messenger from God came and told her that this was going to happen, laughed. And he said, "Why are you laughing about this?" And she lied. She said, "I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh about that," which she did. She didn't have any belief that this was actually going to happen. She thought it was absurd that it would happen. Then they came up with an idea, because it took a long time from the time God promised that they would have a son, Abraham and Sarah would have a son, until they actually had one. And so they got to wondering, Maybe we should do something. And so they had this stupid idea that Abraham would have a baby with a servant girl of Sarah's, and that'd be close enough. That would fulfill God's promise to them. Absolute train wreck, messed everything up, just a total disaster. It mentions not only Abraham, but his sons, Isaac, and the grandson, Jacob. And very often in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, you'll hear the God of Israel referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are very renowned people. They are held in great esteem in the Hebrew tradition. Jacob is one of my favorite biblical characters. The reason I love reading about Jacob is that Jacob messed up everything he ever did. He did not do anything right his whole life. Everything he did was a mess. The guy was messed up. He stole his brother's birthright, which means the bulk of the family fortune. And this was Abraham's grandson. These were very wealthy people. Much of the fortune was to go to his brother, and Jacob stole it. Caused all kinds of stuff. His brother wanted to kill him, so he had to flee. He was on the run. He finally married a couple of different people. That was a messed up story as well. And then he had children, a lot of them, 12. And he was a terrible father, just horrible. He pretty much sent most of his sons out as workers, except one, the youngest, who he had with the wife he actually liked. Had two wives. One of them he didn't like, one of them he liked a lot. The one he did not like had a lot of kids. The one he liked had one, had Jacob, or had Joseph. And so Joseph was daddy's boy. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to do anything. He got presents from dad while the others went out. Jacob bred so much animosity into his own children that they wanted to kill Joseph. Planned to do it. But then they decided to make some money off of him and sold him into slavery into Egypt. Because, you know, if you kill him, you don't make money. So they sold him into slavery in Egypt. I'm not saying these were bad people. But they were people. They were real people that made huge mistakes, that betrayed one another, and their lives were a mess. They were an absolute mess. One of the things I love about the Bible is it doesn't sugarcoat things. It doesn't dress it up to look nice. It tells the real life story of real life people. Now, why then, if all these people were so messed up, and I'm just quickly giving you the highlights. If you read the details, it was messed up. All these people lived lives that were completely messed up. They had so many problems, many of which because of their own big mistakes. Some of them were not, but most of them were their own problem. Why would the writer of Hebrews, all these generations later, speak so glowingly about these people? By faith, they did all these wonderful things. Because it was exactly that. It was by faith. It was in trust in God. And this is the big lesson we learn from this. God is more powerful than our mistakes. God is more powerful than our mistakes. All the stuff we mess up, all the roads we go down and we think, I should not have done that. I wish I had that back. All the broken relationships in our life, all the messed up decisions, all the missteps that we make in life, God is more powerful than that. God can use messed up people. God can take all our mistakes, and through the power of God, God can actually do some good with our life. Even if we mess it up. That's why the passage in Romans that we read to begin the service today tells us all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. If you stick with God, God will work things out. Now that doesn't mean all things are good. Don't hear that all things are good. Some things are bad, but it says all things work together for good. It does not mean that if we're a Christian, everything's going to be good. No. Some things are going to be bad. But God can even use the bad stuff. If we will stick with God, God can even use the troubles and the mistakes and the missteps and the betrayals and all the things in our life. God can still use that to bring about some good, somehow, God will work things out. It doesn't mean that we will get by with those mistakes, okay? Some people may say, well, if God's going to all work it out, I can do whatever I want, right? Doesn't matter what I do. Well, there are still consequences. It's still life. There's still consequences in life. And when we mess things up, it's going to hurt. If we go down a bad road, we do things that are dumb, we make big mistakes, it's going to cause more pain in our life. We're going to suffer more in life for those mistakes, those broken relationships, those hardships, those bad decisions that we make. There's going to be consequences. Okay, so we want to avoid those if we can. But the point is, even if we make mistakes, even in the midst of the consequences, the struggles, the suffering that we bring into our own lives sometimes, even in the midst of that, all is not lost. We may suffer because of bad decisions. We may regret mistakes that we've made. There are consequences in life, but that doesn't mean God is finished with us. God can still work all things, even our dumb mistakes in life. He can work some good. He can work all that together for good. It's very often the things God takes, the bad things in our life that He uses for good, that are some of the most powerful things. Some of the most powerful things in this world come because of the hardships that God can use to teach us the lessons of life. And it doesn't mean that God can rescue us from everything, because, you know, sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Some people may say, well, if God can overcome my mistakes, why doesn't He do it before I make them? Why doesn't He just keep me from making the mistakes? Why doesn't He tell me when there's mistakes? Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Sometimes we don't listen to God. Sometimes we have to learn things through the suffering. And if you've raised children, you know this. You've let your kids learn things the hard way, haven't you? You try to protect them as best you can. But if you've raised children, you've let them learn a few lessons the hard way. Maybe you had no choice. Maybe you didn't let them, but you had no choice. They had to learn the hard way. That's the way we are sometimes. We learn, and we can't learn the easy way. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. God, as a loving parent, knows that sometimes we have to learn lessons of life the hard way. But God will still use that for good. God will take every single thing in our life and never be finished with us, even if we make mistakes. God will never look at your life and think, wow, I have no idea what to do with that. God's never going to think that. God's never going to look at the mistakes you make, the bad decisions that you make in your life, and think, that's it, I'm done. I'm finished with them. That's enough. I don't have anything to do with them anymore. I'm finished. Never will happen. God will always be with us. As we are Christians and following Him and our belief in Him, our faith in Him, He will always be with us, even in the disasters that we bring into our life. By faith, all of these people in the Old Testament can be celebrated for the great things God did in the history of the Hebrew people through those that were named and many others. We can celebrate that along with the writer of Hebrews today. We celebrate the accomplishments of God in people who were messed up. On the front door to this building, it has our name, the English-speaking United Methodist Church. And right under that, it says, imperfect people, welcome. We believe in that. We don't expect people to be perfect, because we're not. We're all struggling in some way or another. We've all made mistakes. We've all got regrets. No one gets through this life without scars, and some of those scars are self-inflicted. We messed up, and we wish we hadn't. There's stories that maybe we'll never tell because we're ashamed and embarrassed by the things that we've done in our past. There are stories that everybody knows that we wish we could go back and redo. By faith, God carries us into the future. And we may never know. Some of these people never knew what came about in their life. They certainly wouldn't know that generations later, the writer of Hebrews would be celebrating their life as people of faith. When they were in the midst of the disasters of their life, they surely never imagined that generations later they would be celebrated, not for their accomplishments, not for their wisdom, but for their faith, even in the midst of all their mistakes. God is not finished with us. no matter where we are in our life. You might be at a place in your life, you feel pretty good about your decisions. You feel pretty good about where you are. Good. God can use that. The things you're doing right in your life, God can use that for good in this world. And you might be in a place where you just got to start over. The things just need to start again. Then you need to put the past behind you and start forward. And God can do that. God can take you right where you are. For many years, in the U.S., I led a ministry called Recovery Ministry. And it was a ministry to people that have alcohol and drug addiction, also divorce recovery and chronic illness and a lot of other things. Everybody's in recovery for something. And so we had people come to this special service and we focused on recovery. And one of the things that I always said was that God loves you and accepts you and even likes you, utterly adores you exactly as you are right this second. You do not have to change for God to accept who you are. But God loves you too much to leave you like you are. He'll take you right now, no matter what your life is, good or bad. The things you're proud of and the things you're ashamed of, God takes us right now exactly as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us like we are. Even if you're very satisfied with your life, he's got better for you. He's got more for you to understand, more wisdom for you to learn, better things for you in life. And if your life's an utter mess and you're ashamed of where you are in your life, God can take you exactly where you are and make you better. He always knows the road forward. That comes by faith. It comes by trusting God. Faith is an act of trust. It means that I trust God even more than my own mistakes. I know that God is more powerful than even my own mistakes in life. That I trust God to take whatever abilities and good things and good decisions that I can make in life and do good with that. But I trust God that somehow God can even take my mistakes and my weaknesses and my flaws and somehow use those things for some good in life. One of the reasons that I ran that recovery ministry for so many years is because many years ago, I got divorced. And that nearly killed me. I came from a family that taught you do not get divorced. I came from a religious tradition that taught you do not get divorced. I worked very, very hard, desperately trying to not get divorced. And once I was, I thought my life was over. I thought it was done. But you know what that tragedy that just broke my life? Because of my religious tradition, because of my family, because of my commitment to try to make that work, when I was so broken in that, that actually helped lead recovery ministry. Because I could talk to other people that were broken. We could all talk about our brokenness together. I didn't lead that as someone who had all the answers that would look down on people that were broken. I invited people to come to a ministry where I was broken too. And we help each other. That was the worst decision I made in my whole life, was to get married when I was too young to know better and didn't know what I was getting into. It was the hardest thing I've been through in my life, and yet it led to some of my most joyful times of ministry, of being able to help people without judging them, without looking down on them, knowing that they're broken, I'm broken, but we have God together. That's one of the reasons I could do that ministry. And it's one of the ministries that I've enjoyed most in my life. God can even take our mistakes. God can even take our tragedies. God can take everything if we will stay with God. By faith, we trust God to be bigger than our mistakes. We trust God to find a way even when we can't see it. We trust God no matter what happens, that somehow, even if we don't live to see the end result, God will find a way, because God's just that big. God is that good. God can take people's lives who are messed up, who have experienced so many consequences, such tragedies, sometimes self-inflicted, and do good. And so let's do better. Let's trust God to lead us every step and avoid those tragedies of life as best we can, to avoid messing up our life as much as we can, and trust God before the mistakes to lead us in the right path. But even when we mess up, even when we falter, even when we fall, God is not finished with us. By faith, God does tremendous things, even with imperfect people. That's the God we serve. That's the God we pray to. We can come to God without shame and without guilt because he has taken care of our sin and shame through his death and resurrection, through the atonement of Jesus Christ. We have relationship with God. God knows we're not perfect. God knows we mess up. The Bible didn't hide all the mistakes of those Old Testament people, but the Bible still celebrates all the things God was able to do through them. We can't hide all our mistakes either. Maybe we can hide a few, but we can't hide all of them. And we can't hide any of them from God. God knows all our mistakes. And yet, God doesn't cast us aside. He wants us as his children, his people, to follow him, even when we are broken, and be led into a better future because God is bigger than our mistakes. And so let's pray to him. Let's bring our life to him, whatever good or bad we find in it right now. And I'll start our prayer. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much that you accept us, even when we're broken, even when we've made mistakes, even when we've faltered and failed miserably. You still care. You still love us. You know our imperfections, and you're still with us. And you have committed in your word to us that you will work all things together for good for those who love the Lord. So, Lord, we love you, and we want to be with you, and we want you to work things out even when we mess it up. And we may not even know how you work it out. We may not see the results of your work. We may only see the results of our mistakes. But, God, we trust you. Help us to trust you, to know you're bigger than our mistakes, that you're not hindered by our flaws. Help us to overcome those mistakes and improve on our flaws so we don't have to experience so many consequences and struggles because of our own mistakes, because of our own failures. They bring so much pain into our life. So God, help us to overcome that. Help us to live in a wise manner so that we can follow you every step of the way. But God, thank you, even when we fall, you are still there to lead us, still there working with us. And by faith, we trust that you will find a way to still work in us, even when we fall. Thank you that you love us that much, that you're never finished with us. You never put us aside. You never abandon us. You always want to teach us to do better. So help us to hear your spirit in us and to always follow you. In this spirit, we lift our prayers to you.